Thanks for watching Notepad. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We're going to be covering on a lot of issues when it comes to empowering Malaysian students for the workforce of the future. Where recently, MDEC, MOE, as well as UNICEF and Arus Academy is working together with DG Telecommunications in delivering the best kind of service and support for Malaysian students in ensuring that the future workforce will be equipped with the skills that is needed in the market today. Joining us on the line virtually is Philip Ling, the head of sustainability for DG Telecommunications. Philip, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. Let's go through with the kind of items that DG is doing when it comes to empowering Malaysian students for the workforce of the future. Philip.
Thank you, Ibrahim. I think recently our education minister shared that the education transformation executive talk is about how do we move the education system forward, right? In order that we are at the same level with other countries in their education system and policy. So along this side, there's been an emphasis, especially on the Malaysian Education Blueprint, which runs from 2013 to 2025. As we are coming to the tail end, we definitely need to make sure that there's greater access, there's greater equity, as well as quality education for young Malaysians. So that's where DG comes in, because our aspirations run in parallel with what the government is hoping to achieve for the country. And it's also how do we build young people that are future ready, that are digital resilient to the dangers and risks online, and how do they enter this future workforce. So with that, we've been working with a lot of our partners, including Ministry of Education, UNICEF, which is a global partner, Arus Academy, MDEC. And one of the key programs that we wanted to talk about today is Future Skills, DG's Future Skills for All program. We started this back in February 2020, so it's been running a few years now. And the program, basically what we've done is that we've taken the science computer, we call it Reka Beto Technology and Science Computer, which is in all our schools. We've taken the entire module and we've digitized it, right? So now you can actually learn it online. And we've made it into a video series where you have assessments, you have various interesting ways of learning skills like coding, Python, SQL, and microbits, even from the very basics, because we wanted young people and our students to have a try on it. Regardless of which corner you are in Malaysia, you actually can now learn coding language in a very fast and easy and similar way. So it's accessible for all in that sense.
Because of this, serving the underserved communities under the FS4A, or Future Skills for All program. I want to learn more about the longevity of the program. I hesitate to use the word sustainability because people might misconstrue that as an ESG effort. The continuity, I suppose, of the program to ensure that this is a long-lasting one for generations to come. How does that work out for you guys?
Yeah, so again, the beginning stage is that we are in partnership with the Ministry of Education. So they have a digital education learning platform. It's called the LIMA. So the module is accessible there by all. But again, we know that not all Malaysians have access to the internet. So while we provided example in multiple language, the modules has been translated into the main languages for Malaysians. And of course, you can learn it at your own pace. So unlike where you have to keep up, you can learn it at your own pace. You can again, because it's a digital module, you can rewind it, you can replay it, you can learn it again. And one more thing that we've done is that we've actually built offline kits for it. So I brought it here today, this box that you've seen. It's an offline kit where we've brought into areas where you may not have internet access. But with coding, what's important is that you learn the basics. It's a very logical skill. Now, how do you look at it from a logical and analytic point of view? In fact, we've made it into a card game, right? So for kids who can't access the internet at this point, they can actually learn coding and the basics of and foundation of it. So in that sense, we are trying to be very equitable. And we are, in fact, what we're doing now at this stage is that we're taking the entire video module and we're adding in sign language as, again, for the community that needs it. And in this way, we are trying to ensure that everyone who wants to learn coding has now the accessibility to coding, because it is a language and a programming that will continuously evolve and, again, getting more complex. But once you get the basics of it, then it allows you to spread it and grow it in many forms.
It's It's admirable to make it equitable. It's also important for us to ensure that offline learning for critical items like coding is being done. However, it is still not practical for students to fully appreciate the realms of coding and many others if they do not have access to, number one, internet, number two, devices. Is there any plan when it comes to DG trying to make sure that the students are ensured the necessary tools and equipment in order for them to fully immerse themselves in this particular skills training for the future?
Yes. So again, today, again, working with our regulator, MCMC, working with the industry, and as you know, the accessibility of tools are getting lower and lower. In fact, in the past few years during the pandemic, we've worked with Chirdik, which is to provide more and more devices for schools. But at the end of the day, I guess it goes back to the interest of young people, because when we look at future skills, we're not just talking about coding. We're talking about how to be safe. We're talking about ways of communicating, ways of understanding various options that come with digitization, right? And that's what we really hope to do in this whole program, in the sense that when we go down ground, we run coding competitions, example, Boleh Code, right? So even if you don't have access, like we mentioned, right? But to be able to understand, hey, this is something that I would like to explore, right? Because I now understand the logic behind coding. I now understand that with this, I can build on it, right? And that's where we want to start off. And of course, like you said, it is a continuous journey. There are things to be that we can do better. There are things that we can grow together.
All right, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with the Head of Sustainability for DG, Philip Ling. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line virtually Philip Ling. Philip, let's talk a little bit more about some of the work or efforts that you guys are doing outside of empowering Malaysian students. Maybe you can run through with us some of the ideas that you can share, particularly towards the end of this year and some of the items that you might be doing next year.
Okay. So during the past 2 years, what we've done is that when students at home, we ran multiple surveys. So we had a Life Under COVID survey. Right, so for a whole nationwide, we had youth and data privacy survey, right, to understand how much of our young people understand their privacy when it comes to online. And of course, several surveys on cyberbullying, youth disposition. Now, all this provides us the data to then form where do you want to go next, right? So today, again, we've realized that youth themselves understand that single skill sets no longer work in the future. They are learning on their own things like nanotechnology, coding, robotics, drones. So kids are already learning things which are not in the main syllabus, in the main curriculum today. So as we plan, it's very important that, yes, one, we look at where the Malaysian Education Blueprint wants to go. But two, we also look at the demands in the market, right? These are future talents that we are preparing to enter the workforce. So there must be an area where we can meet, both ends can meet. And then that's where you equip them for what they are looking for, as well as helping it fast track to a certain extent. One of the things we've done also in these few years is that we've created microbits. If you haven't seen, this is what a microbit kit looks like. It's a starter pack, right? So it's a starter pack. It comes with wires, blinking lights, and loads of stuff. And for young people, coding is not just something you learn on a textbook. It's something that you actually have to do hands-on. Right, so we've actually given this out at all our DG centers, there's 132 of them. And our young people today are really doing hands-on to understand that if this is something that I enjoy, if this is something that I want to grow further, or is it something I don't enjoy, right? So those are, I think, important efforts to try to bridge the gap that we're seeing today.
And of course, one of the things that you guys are doing is in also ensuring that those that are in the current workforce are fully equipped for further skills learning as well. Maybe you can share with us some of the ideas on that point, not just students, but working adults.
Yep. So it's always a debate on whether do you want to reskill or do you want to upskill, right? So in our own talent program, we are looking at a lot of young people. We have a CXO apprentice. So again, bringing a lot of young people and for them to be able to bring in new ideas, new ways of work, and challenge the norm. Even within ourselves, all our employees, every year we have a mandatory 40-hour learning, right? So we have to put in 40 hours to look at what's happening in the digital world. You know? And we have to hone our skills, because today a lot of people are talking about innovation, right? You're talking about new products, new innovation, but you also remember that we must always have people who are able to explain that innovation to your customers, to your business partners. So again, when we look at upskilling, we're not just looking at technology, the hard skills, the soft skills actually come along with it. And I think that's where a lot of corporates today are looking at it. How do you upskill in both soft skills and hard skills? And how do you bring it the workforce to be future ready in that sense?
No, following back to what you said earlier about Safe Internet Flagship Program, maybe you can share with us a little bit more on that, particularly when we talk about, say, mental health. The world is celebrating mental health on the 10th of October. So there's a lot of the conversation on mental health upkeep and how one would stay healthy mentally. Are the two items working hand in hand in terms of Safe Internet Flagship Program versus mental health or upkeeping or maintaining mental health, especially online?
Exactly. That's a great question, Ibrahim. Again, when we work with partners like UNICEF, they would remind us, you can't just give a device and access to a child, because the world of internet is very complicated, right? And again, all of us as adults, we've seen the scams, the fake news and all those, and all those contribute to how a child thrives in the world and how they are able to understand how do I look at data, how do I look at literacy and information in this world. So alongside this future skills, Safe Internet is there to tell them that, hey, before even you go on and start with your life on social media, understand the privacy settings, understand the type of scams that you might encounter, understand that some people will try to bully you, some people will try to groom you. So in the sense that the SAFE module complements the future skills together, because while you explore and you grow in this, you have to do it in a responsible way. So our Safe Internet has a whole digital citizenship module that hopes to build that type of skills within our young people.
Yeah. All right, we'll go for one more short break. When we come back, we'll continue on our conversation with DEG's Head of Sustainability. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Philip of DG. We're looking at not just the sustainability items of DG Telecommunications, but perhaps some of the items that might resonate well with the society that we operate in. And of course, Philip, the environment that we're facing right now is actually quite challenging. Economic headwinds are bearing down upon us. Many of us are trying very hard to make ends meet. How do you see the situation going to shape up following the last quarter of this year and perhaps early next year? What will be some of the ideas or themes that you think we all should be thinking about when it comes to, you know, doing good for the society through your work, for instance, sustainability, versus the kind of thematic items that will take place? How do we navigate these kind of challenges?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, one of the questions we've always been asked is that, can a robot do my work, right? And a lot of people are actually concerned about that. But it's also interesting that when we think about ourselves on questions like this, we must understand that today, even if a robot is to do some work, it's important that we know that these are things that needs to be coded at the back end. There needs to be analytics, there needs to be people maintaining it or managing it, right? And what's very interesting for me is that even in these past few years, I've seen a lot of disjointed fields previously, AI, ML, robotics, nanotechnology, even genetics, biotechnology, you realize that they're all coming together. So which is a great thing, because the SDG, Sustainable Development Goals, looks at a lot of interconnected challenges that cannot be addressed by one single industry or one single solution. And I think this is where we will see a lot of, where I anticipate more and more people coming together. Because while we sometimes see them as disruptions to technology, but it's also opportunities. And I think if the industries in Malaysia or the corporate Malaysia comes together, these are ways that we can collaborate and look at solutions even for society in general.
Does this mean you are open to working, say, with your competitors or other industries that might not necessarily be related to telecommunications?
DG is currently part of a group called CEO Action Network. It has around 50 over corporates in Malaysia. And we are looking at social causes, we are looking at SDG goals that we can work together. And for me, that's a great movement ahead for the country.
Okay, and of course, heading towards the final part of the conversation, I'd like to ask you about how DG is allocating resources, both money and non-financial, in terms of ensuring that the sustainability efforts that you are doing, particularly coming out of your shop, is going to be carried through and continued even after you are gone. I'm talking about institutionalizing the sustainability efforts of DG. How is DG approaching sustainability in the long run?
Yeah, so sustainability is part of responsible business, which forms a core of our strategy. We have a three-pronged strategy. Responsible business is one of the key pillars. So within it, we actually engage our stakeholders. We do materiality assessments with all our stakeholders. So we actually understand what our stakeholders expect from us. And these are not just customers. These are corporate customers. These are industries, regulators, government. So in the sense that understanding where we need to go and setting the direction that we are moving towards there, I think we'll end up in a good space.
Okay. And of course, this also means that DG might necessarily have to allocate more financial resources to the work that you guys are doing. Is that happening?
Yes, it is.
Okay. That's it? Very short answer?
Yes, it is. So again, our plans are very much aligned to where the nation wants to move, right? Whether we're talking about digital skills, digital education, digital access, you will realize that we are part of the working group. Reiterating that we need cooperation, we need alliances, we need collaboration in order to make these things work.
Okay. Finally, falling back to some of the partners that you're working with, as we hearkened earlier, Minister of Education, MDEC, Arus Academy, UNICEF, and many more. What kind of partners are you looking forward to working in the future? May not necessarily be working right now, but the kind of partners that you want to strike. Perhaps they can be inspired after watching our interview right now, and they might want to work for you. They want to work with you guys.
Well, there's a lot of startups that we are talking with, more people they are meeting with. And today we are really looking at cross borders. When you come to ESG issues, it's across borders. And again, in the interconnected realm that we are today, we are open to exploring with any partner, actually.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Philip Ling, the DG Head of Sustainability. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com, look for Notepad or look for DG or look for sustainability there. You can also watch all of us on all our social sites as well, on TikTok, on IG, as well as on Twitter. If you have any thoughts on sustainability and the work that you want to do with the community, do seek these kind of players out. Say, for instance, DG Sustainability or many other sustainability teams that are working on this. They are featured extensively on Astro Awani. May not necessarily be on Notepad, but they are featured extensively on Awani through our sister programs like Niaga Awani or Awani Pagi, or Consider This, or some of our weekender shows. Watch those kind of interviews and try to strike a good partnership with them. Perhaps we can build a better Malaysia collectively. Until then, that was again Philip Ling, the head of DG Sustainability, and of course, here with me, Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.